In the days to come, because this thing is really, really working in my heart. And we've already preached two messages out of this passage of Scripture. And I don't know how many more's coming, but just the way it's working in my heart and what God's already said to me, I know that there's probably going to be a few more anyway. And I believe it's the need of the hour. I really do. I know we talk about prayer, what a need it is, but if your inner man ain't right, you're not going to pray. We can talk about worship, how important that is, and it is. But if your inner man's not right, you can't worship. I mean, you think of every facet of the Christian life collapses when your inner man is not where it needs to be with God. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, you can stand with me if you'd like, and we'll just try to read a few verses. I'll not read the whole chapter. You ought to read it when you get home. Familiarize yourself. You know we're probably outside of, you know, the Lord leading us in a different direction every now and then or whatever. We're probably going to be in this chapter unless the Lord changes my heart, because God wants us to really get focused in on it. Amen. Verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I hope that verse gets a hold of us. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. We might as well read it all. I was trying to find down through there a place to just skip, but there wasn't nothing to skip. That's our problem anyway. I think we skip too much. But anyway, amen. Verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, this is our text verse, but though our outward man perish, yet, that means at the same time, while the outward man is perishing and falling apart and changing for the worse, at that same time, the opposite is taking place, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You may be seated. I do ask that you pray for us, that God would help us, amen, throughout the preaching of the word of the Lord this morning. Again, in verse number 16, for which cause we faint not. That's the second time that Paul in this chapter referenced fainting. Verse number 1, he said, we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Amen. I like that. Paul saying in verse number one of chapter 4, just saw this. Paul said that mercy got in the way of us fainting. In verse 16, he's telling us there was a cause that got in the way of fainting. He said, for which cause we faint not. Thank God it's easy to stay on course if you've got a cause. Amen. That's right. David said, is there not a cause? There in 1 Samuel. That's what kept him going. That's what kept him from being discouraged from his own brethren that was trying to intimidate him and shame him for being down there to fight Goliath. That's what helped him to go out and face Goliath. Amen. Was that he had a cause. He knew what was at stake. He knew that if he crumbled, what would be lost, what would go down the tubes. And I want to tell you, friend, there's a cause attached to you. There's a cause attached to me. There's a cause attached to RBT. And if we crumble, a great cost will take place. But verse 16, he says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And Paul is showing us in this chapter that there is conflicts, there's hardships, there's adversities. That's very clearly to be seen there in the usage of the word faint. You get faint because you get weak, you get weary. And then in verse number 8 and verse 9, 10, and 11, and of course verse 12, he goes through there talking about being troubled and being perplexed and being persecuted and being cast down and bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord. He's showing us, ladies and gentlemen, that to serve God does not exempt you and exclude you from troubles and hardship and adversity. But he's also showing us that even though as children of God and servants of the Lord, even with a ministry, in verse number 1, we've received this ministry. Involved in ministry, that doesn't exempt you from troubles and hardship and adversity. But Paul is showing us in verse 16, the way to triumph over troubles and hardship is to deal with it in the inner man, with the inner man. If you try to deal with your problems with the outward man, and that's talking about your human nature, your human flesh, your Adamic nature that's falling apart, he said you're going to faint. You're going to crumble. But he said the inward man is not affected by trouble. Your inward man is not affected by being perplexed. Your inward man is not affected by being persecuted. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good, isn't it? I mean, no matter what comes in your life, at best, it can target the physical. Amen. Praise God, that's right. I mean, the worst thing that happened to me today is I'd die. And that would be an exit out of here and an entrance to glory. I mean, what are you worried about? I mean, the worst thing that happened to me, you'd die. But I'm dealing with that verse of 16 in light of the chapter on the inward man being renewed day by day. And I thought about this earlier. What kind of church service would we have this morning if every child of God in here had your inward man in a state of renewal, in a condition of being renewed and refreshed and rejuvenated and restored, to be brought back into that new freshness again? Oh, my soul. What kind of a service would we have? If I ask you this morning how you're doing physically, you could probably tell me. Well, preacher, I got a little ache and pain here, and I got a little this and that's going on. You could probably give me a depressing report. But if I ask you how you were doing spiritually, how's the inward man? I wonder how many of you could give me a detailed description. Or would you just play it off with a little general answer? Okay, I'm all right. I'm fine. But in your heart, you know that you're not where you need to be at the Lord. And by the way, when you're not where you need to be at the Lord, you know it. You don't have to have somebody, you don't have to have a doctor to put a stethoscope on your chest. I want to tell you, when you're not right with God, the Holy Spirit of God will show you. He will take peace away from your heart. He'll take joy away from your soul. Amen. Amen. When you're not right, you know it. We need a revival of renewal. And we preached Wednesday night on the meaning of renewal, what it means. What it means. And we illustrated that, and I'm not going to re-preach that, but we illustrated that, or tried to, with a battery charger and rechargeable batteries. I had one with me up here that we use in the office back there, and tried to illustrate what it means to be renewed, to be recharged. Right. Recharged. Amen. But I want to move on, and I want to deal with something else. Actually, I want to deal with this. The Lord spoke to my heart about these, and I didn't know really where I was going to put it. The Lord gave them to me last night before I went to bed. And I just got a little piece of paper out and wrote them down. I hope you're not against that. You just have to get over that, amen? Look at what God has given you over the past. I was thinking about that coming to church this morning. Look at the times God has fed you, blessed you, gave you something out of the Word of God, but you didn't write it down and it's gone, been gone. You can't recall it to save your life.
Right.
Keep you a journal. Have you something handy to where you can jot down some things, because your mind may not always be as fresh as it is right now. There'll come a day that you'll need some help on that, and you can turn a composition book over and look and say, wow, boy, God spoke to me right here out of that verse, or God gave this to me in a service or whatever, and fed yourself. But anyway, God gave this to me, and I said, Lord, I don't know where it's going to fit. I don't know how we're going to use this. And while we were praying, God spoke to my heart and said, here, you need to add another point in on this message. And I said, all right, what do you want me to preach on? Not only the meaning of being renewed, but I want to talk about the must of being renewed.
Amen.
The must of being renewed. Buddy, to have your inward man renewed, ladies and gentlemen, is not an option. It is not something that you can take or leave. Amen. When the inner man weakens, your whole spiritual life goes with it. Amen. And I jotted these little few thoughts down, and I'll give them to you, and we'll see where the Lord have us to go from there. But I thought about how important the inward man is. Think about the inward man, the Holy Spirit, your spirit nature on the inside. What's attached to that? And I just jotted these things down. I said, first of all, Lord spoke to my heart, Brother Mark, last night. First of all, the inward man is important because it is the only source in my life where I receive from God. My flesh, the outward man, doesn't receive nothing from God. In fact, it's an enemy of God. It opposes God. It is deaf toward God. Amen. It wants nothing to do with God. Yes. If you allow your inward man to get in an unrenewed state, and it's so easy to get there. I've been there so many times, it's pathetic, amen. I've been amazed how many times that Preacher Rackley has lost spiritual ground, amen. Wanted to kick myself. And what in the world are you thinking? Amen. And when the spiritual man is weak, the only other alternative, which is really not an alternative, is that you must lean on the outward man, which is doing what? Perishing. It is decaying, declining. It is going from worse to worse. Whereas the inward man, when it's renewed, is going from glory to glory. And I want to say that the inward man is important, that you have your inward man renewed, because that's the only reception that you have from God. You can't receive anything. What is that? Those plug-ins right there are called? You know what they're called? Receptacles. And if you don't have what it's made to fit that, it don't matter how much power's in that plug. It don't matter how much ability and availability is in that plug. If you don't have what that plug requires for you to receive, you will not receive anything. How many people sit through services like this morning, like Friday night Jubilee, like Wednesday night, last Sunday? You sat in a service, God was moving, God was speaking, but you were receiving nothing. You know where you need to focus? You better look at your inward man. You better look at the inside and see what's going on right there. Because if the inward man is not right and not where it needs to be, then you don't have no receptor. You have no reception from God. In this atmosphere today, Lord's just helping me. All I've got to jot a few things down. But listen, in this atmosphere, you can't see it. But Miss Sarah, you know what's in this atmosphere? All kinds of voices. Do you hear them? Listen. You don't hear them? Neither do I. But all I'd have to do is get a radio in here. All I'd have to do is get a radio in here that can read the frequencies and tune into the frequency and pull in and make audible the frequencies. You got to have a receiver. You've got to have something that can hook up with those voices, or you will hear nothing. The inward man is our, if I could say, our spiritual radio antenna, our spiritual radio receiver, where we're tuned in and receive the voice of God. Oh, the outward man will not hear the voice of God. No, my soul. Listen. It's what we receive from the Lord with. That's why it's so important that you and I spend time giving attention to the condition of our spiritual man. You know what else? Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's recorded one of his prayers here. Verse 16. Let me back up just a little bit. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, that he, that is God, would grant you, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, watch this, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God is saying right there, Brother Ivan, that your inward man is my connection to you for me to impart strength to you. God doesn't give strength to the outward man. God channels his strength through the inward man. And let me say, if you're lost here today, never been born again, not truly saved, you have no clue what I'm talking about. Because you don't have the inward man. All you have is the outward man. That's why that spiritual things is boring to you. That's why spiritual things, you can't hook up with it. Why? Because you don't have the inward man. Oh, the inward man is what receives from God. Man, that's feeding me this morning. And it don't matter who you are. It don't matter who you are. Your spiritual man get cold. You quit receiving from the Lord. How many of you can remember when you're fired up, you're right with God, and man, you're getting the Word of God. Man, how it just comes off the page at you. It's got your name on it. I mean, it's feeding you. Do you remember that? Have you been there? But then on the other hand, have you read the Bible and your heart is cold and crusty? You might as well nod your head, because we all have. And it says nothing. I remember back, it's been a few years ago. And I was coming through the book of Psalms in my devotions. Just so happened when I started the book of Psalms, I was fired up. And almost every page, I had a little piece of paper stuck in there with notes all over it. Where God had fed me. Where God had showed me things, you know, maybe to preach at a later time. But then I flipped a few more pages and I noticed them notes insertions was gone. Which meant now I'm reading chapters and nothing. And nothing. And nothing. You know why? The inward man is the only source whereby you can receive from God. God is not going to speak to the world. He's not going to speak to the flesh. He's certainly not going to speak to the devil. He's going to speak to the inward man. He's going to strengthen the inward man. Amen. Well, I see something forming there. You see it? Amen. The inward man is the source that receives the speaking of God. The inward man is what receives the strength of God. He will be strengthened with might by thy spirit in the inward man. Isn't that what Ephesians said?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. How do you think you're going to make it in the days coming when persecution and trials and difficulties are coming our way, even in the form of being legal?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
They'll think they're doing God favor when they put us in jail or close our churches down. Or you say, not in America. Are you kidding me? Who would have ever thought that we would see our country, even at the level it is now, of being against Christians?
Right. That's right.
Amen. Now, I mean, you can be a Muslim, and you got the whole backing of the cost of our country. But if you're a Christian, my friend, listen, you're gonna be you're illegal. You can't say nothing.
Right.
Don't speak up. You can't say nothing. But listen, and it's not getting better, it's getting worse.
Right.
And by the way, it's not a Democrat issue and it's not a Republican issue,
right.
It's a sin issue.
That's right.
You're
right.
It's exactly right, friend. Sin is what's messing this country up.
Right.
It messes up anything and everything it touches. It always, amen, that's right. Oh, listen, we need, listen, to recognize that the inward man, it's what receives the speaking of God. It receives the strength of God, the inward man. Let me say this. And you've heard me preach from Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You've heard me preach on that.
Right.
And I reference it a lot. But do you remember what we pointed out about that verse? If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Remember what we said about that? You're not fainting because what size your circumstance is, how bad the afflictions are, the adversity are. That verse says the reason you're fainting is because your strength is small. How are we going to make it, Brother Brad, facing the hardships and the demonic activity that we're going to be encountering in these last days? How can we do that unless we have the inward man right with God to where I can be strengthened with God's power and God's strength? There's some in this building. I'm talking about even if Jesus don't come. There's probably some right here today that's in this service this morning that'll not even be in church in 5 years or less. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the fact is, as good as we've got it now, people can't even be spiritual. As easy as we've got it now and as comfortable as we've got it now, Brother Bob, people cannot even be spiritual. Lay out of church, miss church, won't pray, won't read the Word of God.
Right.
Brother Bob, you bless me. I want you to know you bless me and you're blessing our church.
Amen.
Battling with cancer, no doubt weak and weary and all that goes with that disease and that ailment. But yet how much, listen, he comes to church more than a lot of faith, a lot of healthy people does.
Right. Right.
Keep coming, Brother Bob. You're making people look bad. And you're making Jesus look good.
Right. Right.
Amen. Showing us that His grace is sufficient. That your heart can be bigger than the hurts. Amen. Your desire to serve God and please God and live out the rest of your days for the Lord can get bigger than the conflicts and the problems and the crisis of life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm feeling something on that.
Amen.
Well, the inward man receives strength from God. And we can handle no matter what comes, Brother Brian, in our way if the inward man is right. Talking about the must of having your inward man renewed. One, because it receives from God. Number two, The inward man must be renewed, not only because it receives from God, but listen, it's the only thing in your life that it can experience the reality of God. Do y'all know what I'm talking about when I ask this question? Has God ever got real to you? Has God ever got real to you? Has ever God got close and real? That didn't happen with the outer man. God doesn't get real to the outward man. The outward man's perishing, Brother Tim. The outward man's decaying. The outward man loves sin and this world and wickedness and doesn't love God. And it'll fight God to the last little bit of energy it has. The outward man will fight God. Oh, but I want you to know, boy, that's big to my heart. It's the inward man that God reveals himself to. The reality of God comes through the inward man. Amen. And you take the reality of God out of church, church will become boring. I'm serious. I'm not your judge and I'm not no high sheriff, but I tell you, I wonder sometimes about some of the folk that come to church here. I wonder if God ever speaks to them. I wonder if God ever reveals himself to them. I wonder about it. You say, preacher, why do you wonder? Because I never hear nothing. Why do I wonder, Brother Silas? I don't never see nothing.
Right.
Amen. I don't see any growth. I don't hear any word that says this, God's doing this. God met with me the other night in prayer. When's the last? How many in here, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many in here could give a testimony if you were to be called upon in the last 7 days that God met with you? Riding down the road or in your prayer time or in your devotion time, Brother Tim, I wonder how many could say, preacher, God met with me. God got real to me. God got real to me while the choir was singing. God got real to me while the preacher was preaching. God got real to me in the Sunday school hour. God got real to me while I was reading his word. I tell you, the inward man must be renewed because your inward man is what, ladies and gentlemen, God reveals himself or the reality of God. The reality of God. In fact, the inward man is God. Amen. The Holy Spirit in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Well, I'm not going to try to preach all of them like that, but I want to give you some more. Write this one down. The inward man must be renewed not only because it is what receives from God. The inward man must be renewed because it is what experiences the reality of God. But listen to this. The inward man must be renewed because it is what reverences God. The outward man will never bow. There's a day coming the outward man will bow. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. I understand there's a day coming like that, but I'm talking about now. How many, listen, your flesh don't want to bow. Let me ask you this. This sample. Does your flesh even want to pray? Do you think your flesh is going to stand up and say, hey, I tell you what, why don't you go pray? You get a bad phone call or something that goes on at work or something that's going on in your life and the flesh says, I tell you what you need to do. You need to go pray about that. Negative. Your flesh, the outward man, will never reverence God. It'll never worship God. It'll never bow to God. It'll never submit to God. But I tell you, the inward man is hooked up with God and will bow to God. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, that is feeding this preacher. Reverence God. Respect God. Worship God. Submit to God. Comes through the inward man. Write it down. I don't know what number this is. 4, I guess. Number 4, guess what? We need to get the inward man renewed because not only it's what receives from God, experiences the reality of God. It reverences God. But number 4, we need the inward man renewed day by day because it is what romances with God. Do you think that your flesh is going to love God? Do you think your outward man is going to love God? Negative. The outward man can say, oh, I love Jesus. And you can meet people all the time around here that say that, will say that. Living in sin, wickedness, drinking, cussing, doping, and everything else. But they, oh, I love Jesus. Not according to the Bible, you don't. You said, preacher, that's narrow-minded, and that's real brassy for you to make such a statement. No, Jesus said, if you love me, you'd keep my commandments. Amen. If you love me, you will love my word. You'll love my will. You'll love my work. Oh, yes. Do you love God? Your outward man won't love God. Your outward man loves the world. Your outward man loves sin. Amen. Anyone in this building, Brother Fultz, me and you, any of the other preachers here, it don't matter. You give your flesh an inch. You give it a little slack in the rope. And what have I told you time and again? The flesh will keep the rope tight. Give it a little slack. Give it a little slack. You know, I'm not going to be so tight. I'm going to change my mind on some convictions and such. I'm going to give my flesh, I'm going to give the outward man just a little bit of liberty, they call it. I'm going to give it a little bit of liberty. You know, and you know what that flesh will do? Every time you pull out just a little bit of slackness, that flesh will tighten it up and say, give me more. I want to go further. I want to go further. Give me more. You give a little more and it'll tighten it up. It'll tighten it up. I'm preaching to somebody. I hope you're listening. God is sending this message this morning. There's no doubt about it. If you look at your life, you can see where the outward man is stretching the rope, where you're stretching, where you're moving. I want to say again, listen, I've got one more to deal with, but you listen, your flesh, your outward man will never romance with God. And I want to tell you this, God will never romance it. God will never love on your outward man. No, no, God is not going to love on the outward man. God is going to love through the inward man. Did not the Bible say, was it Romans 5, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, how? By the Holy Ghost. You know, Brother Silas, amen. You know what the natural makeup of the outward man is? It's not to love. To love self, but really you're geared outwardly. Your outward man is geared to hate. Except self, love self, amen. But the love of God is channeled through the Holy Spirit on the inside. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. We need the inward man renewed, refreshed. And some of you that claim to be saved in this service this morning don't have a clue what I'm preaching about this morning. Unless you've been saved over 5 minutes, that would alarm me. If you just got saved this morning and don't understand what I'm talking about, the new man, the inward man, and being renewed and restored and refreshed, and the outward man not, and all of that, I could understand that. But there's folk in this building, I wonder if you even have a clue what I'm talking about. I'd hate to fetch the dark hole of death with that. Amen. You better get to know God on this side. You better get to knowing God on this side of the dirt, on this side of the clouds. You better get to knowing God. You better find out if you know Him. The inward man is your hookup with God. If you don't have the Spirit in you, you are not saved. How many heard me say that this morning? I don't care how many times you made profession. It don't make no difference what church you belong to. Jesus said in Romans 8 and verse 9, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are none of His. And He wasn't kidding when He said that. Brother Tim, He didn't just say, if any man have not the Spirit. It's going to get a little deep, a little touch, a little tacky right here, a little sticky. He didn't just say, if any man have not the Spirit. He said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ. That Christ-likeness Brother Wells dealt with it in a service Friday night. One of the purposes of prayer is conformity. The more you spend time praying with God, God conforms you into His image. The more like Him you become. Amen. Isn't that right? Oh, mercy. The inward man. Do you even have an inward man? Listen, that's not a figure of speech either. You being saved and being indwelt with the new nature of God, the divine nature of God, and having the Holy Spirit in you, that is not a figure of speech. That is a reality. And if the Holy Spirit of God is in you, surely you would know it. Brother Randy, do you think if I packed my bags and moved in over to Hensley residence? I mean, I know there ain't no room, I understand. I'd have to sleep in the closet or out on the back porch. But my illustration is, if I come over there, pack all of my bags, here I am, I'm moving in. And everywhere you go, I'm going. I'm going to eat at your table. I'm going to be right here. Would you know that I was in your house? Why? Because I'd be speaking to him. He would know I was there verbally, audibly. He would know I would be there visibly. And I promise you, if I lived in his house, amen, he'd know I was there. Right, Brother Randy? Same if he came to mine. Why? Because I'm sure probably there's things at his house I wouldn't like. There's probably things at my house you wouldn't like, Brother Randy. And you know, listen, Brother Randy, you know I live there when I say, hey, you need to deal with that right there. Huh? And then I know Brother Randy could have said, well, who do you think you are? Now, I'm not talking about me going over to visit. I'm talking about me being one of them. Holy Spirit takes up His residence in your heart. He lives in you if you are saved. If you are saved. If you are saved. The Spirit of God lives in you. You have the nature of God in you. Well, it's what romances with God. And I'm going to close with this one. It's what rejoices in God. Hello, where's your shout? Where's your joy at? Where's your testimony at? Amen. I'd hate to know the only time I ever told anybody I got saved was the day I got saved. I'd hate to know that's the only time. Amen. Brother Ivan started, Brother Tim was up here telling his testimony opening Sunday school, which some of you never heard. But I've heard Brother Tim tell that several times, and I could have inserted, if you'd have stopped and said, somebody finish this, I got something in my throat, I could probably got the microphone and finished it. Brother Ivan, you told a little bit about yours. Every time you testify, you tell about yours. I could about tell Brother Ivan's as good as he could. Amen. But I wonder how many could tell yours. I couldn't because I don't know it. I may have heard it once or twice, and that's been a long time ago. You say, but preacher, I'm just not that kind. I'm just laid back, and you know, I'm not a Brother Ivan, and I'm just not real vocal. Yeah, right. No, you're just not vocal about Jesus, is what it is. You're vocal about something. I guarantee you, and don't count on it because it's not going to happen, but if I were to walk to your pew and hand you five $100 crisps fresh off the press bills, Ben Franklin's, would you like that, Seth? Yeah. See, she's even feeling something on that. But that's the outward man. That's the outward man. Holy Spirit don't operate off of Ben Franklin's. Amen. But Brother Silas says he'll do till he comes along. Amen. You'd get a excited about that if I handed you the keys to a real fancy house on the hill or a nice car or a big bunch of money and say, here, it's yours. I guarantee you, you'd get over being backwards real quick, wouldn't you? You wouldn't be shy after that. Oh, you'd be tall. You'd get on the phone. Yeah, man, it'd be all over Facebook and it'd be on the news and CNN and ABC. You'd probably be standing on the side of 11W waving a hanky. Woo! But then when it comes to being redeemed, where's your rejoicing? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Where is our rejoicing? Jesus said in John 14, I believe it's verse 27 or 8, I believe it is. He said, if you love me, you would rejoice. What that style? Jesus once said that. I'm telling you, the inward man needs to be renewed every day because the inward man is the only source that's going to worship and rejoice in the Lord. And I can tell when we come in here, I can tell when I am not where I need to be. I can tell it. I can tell it before I get here, but I can tell it while I'm here. God speaking, God blessing, and I'm getting nothing. How's your inward man? How's your inward man? You say, preach, it's real weak. That's what's implied there about fainting. That's what's implied there about the very term needing to be renewed. The inward man needs to be renewed. It needs to be brought, listen, when? Day by day. Brother Sammy Allen, probably one of the godliest men I know, he says he reads in the book of Psalms every day. That's not all he reads, but he reads in the book of Psalms every day to make his heart happy in Jesus. What would that do to you and me and us and our church? What would that do if every day we was renewed in the inward man, refreshed in the inward man? Why do we, listen, it's a must because it's what receives from God. It experiences the reality of God. God is real. God is real to the inward man. It is what reverences God. It is what has romance with God. And it is what rejoices in God. The must. If you want to be a spiritual casualty, if you want to be a spiritual casualty, all you have to do is ignore your inward man. Don't feed it. Don't give it no attention. Don't give it no maintenance. And your reception from God will go. Your reality of God will go. The reverence of God will go. Romance with God will go. Your rejoicing with God, over God and to God and in God. All of that will go. And we all know people that it's happened to. I want to focus my attention on the in, not on self, but on the inward man. Because if the inward man stays where it needs to be, then I will not be overcome, Brother Rob, with circumstances. I will not be overcome with persecution. I will not be overcome with problems if I make sure the inward man is right. And the greatest illustration of that is Jesus himself. Every day he lived on this planet, people hated him, persecuted him, especially in his earthly ministry, persecuted him. Amen. He'd do good. People run him out of town. But he never was overcome with that. Why? Because the inside stayed right. The inside, his spirit stayed right. How are you doing today? Your inward man, what shape's it in? What condition is it in? Is it weak? Is it drifting, wandering off? Is it starting to want things that you know the inward man would never feed on? Lord, give me a little thing this morning while I was shaving, while I was getting right, or getting ready and getting right. when you're shaving, that's a good time to get right. You better be right, amen. You shave like I do. Looks like Zorro, amen. Amen. I'm being honest. Y'all ought to be honest. You get right? Amen. Y'all feel that? Y'all feel something on that? Amen. But the Lord spoke to my heart about whatever you're feeding, what you're feeding on is leading you. Those two words, feeding and leading. What you're feeding on is leading you. What are you feeding on? What spiritual, what diet do you have? Is it spiritual diet? You focusing on something spiritual or is it carnal? Whatever you're feeding on is leading you. Ah, that's good. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. The inward man being renewed is a must.